The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Quarter after eight, Dr. Powers, DennisPowersBooks.com, retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon University. Overall good guy, better bridge player. I think you're a good bridge player. I don't know, are you?
I really enjoyed it. I did well. I could tell some really one-liners about that because I started at a higher level at the group in this one life master, which is really up there, and I was lucky, so I was able to beat him. He walks by me, and he's muttering, Bill, I'm going to give up this damn game.
Now, you said, do you call him life master? Is that like a term for a bridge, someone who really knows their bridge game? Is that what that is?
Good point. Yeah, they have these different gradients that you have to do, winning certain types of different colored points depending on what type of tournament it is, local, regional, or national. And Life Master is where, you've really gone through a lot of hoops to get there. In my case, I just did it for the social and then found out I liked it.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is that I'm hearing Life Master. I'm thinking to myself, sounds like something like out of the Karate Kid or something. Ah, oh, Master, you have to sit there and do the, bow to your sensei, that kind of thing, your bridge sensei.
But, I could tell you stories.
I bet you could. All right. Hey, Doc, have you had a chance to see the Reagan movie yet?
I want to see it, and I'd love to hear what your take is.
You want to go see this. It was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Saw it yesterday. Linda and I both loved it. And it like I said, there's a lot of humor in it, and it reminded me of a lot of 1980s history, because both Linda and I were in our very early 20s when Reagan was first elected. I wasn't very politically aware. In fact, I was a 19-year-old DJ at the time, and had just moved to Barstow, and I didn't even vote in that election because I just moved. And back then they actually cared about things like voter ID and where you lived and all that kind of stuff. Very different now, of course. All I had to do is show up with a pulse, I think, in California. But still, I wasn't particularly politically aware or active or knowledgeable, at that time. And there was a lot of Reagan history in the Soviet Union that I kind of had forgotten about. But the one thing that was really interesting was to see how much Reagan derangement syndrome was going on back then. And I had forgotten how much had gotten thrown at him via pop culture, whether it was MTV and various other. It was something. It was really something to look at. To watch.
Yeah, good point. Typical far left radical trick is rather than debating the message, attack the messenger, mm-hmm. attack the one doing it. We've seen it so many times. So many different. He had the ranch that was above Santa Barbara at the time. And lots of really stories there. I remember I drove Judy up past there. We were stopped by the Secret Service just where the entrance was. Mm-hmm. The difference between when he was running for office and before the office was night and day, because you could drive by, you could only go ahead, you could go up, they had a little guard there and talk to him and such, but then things changed. But you're right. Trump, Reagan, conservative derangement syndrome, and they must really right now be livid.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw it.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, Reagan administration, not perfect because none of them are. But what I did find just fascinating is to see some Trump parallels, that kind of thing with the derangement. The one thing, though, is that Reagan, though, such a fine communicator, and I have been saying for years that instead of the Lincoln Day dinner, Republican Party should be doing Reagan birthday dinners instead. And that
I think that's a good point. And I just loved, when he would have these one-liners, there he goes again.
Exactly. I still think the best one was when they were bringing up in that one debate with, Carter, Mondale, with Mondale, right? The debate with Mondale.
Monte Mondale.
Yeah, and I remember watching that one in which he says, it says they bring up age, and he says, I will not bring up age as part of my campaign for, for political advantage. I will not use my my competitor's youth and inexperience against him, And And you see, and that, and I remember even then when I was a 24-year-old or something like that, and that came out there, and it's just like, oh my gosh, he won. he won. I was laughing even then, I remembered. So, but it was a great line. You know,
so
really
five stars in the Reagan movie.
I would definitely say that? So. And the only thing, and the other thing is that I had to give it five stars because they've managed to find a way to make Nancy Reagan look like a really nice person. I think she was a little tougher and much more of she was much more of a pit bull, I think, than she was portrayed in the movie.
You know, that was kind of what we heard in that area and such. And of course, usually people who are quote unquote in the background, and then all of a sudden you just see the reaction to one sentence and you're thinking, so that's it. That's good.
Yeah. All right.
But
so
then of course you have the Clintons.
Yep. Indeed. Indeed. Are we gonna see a Clinton movie? Who knows? It'll be interesting. In a plain brown wrapper. Let's go into your history that we've been trying to get to here for a number of weeks. We want to make sure and do that because I love it when you bring up some of these historical profiles here of Southern Oregon, and P.K. Hallinan is the one we have in front of us today. And what do we need to know about P.K., huh?
Well, thank you, Bill, because it allows us to go ahead and bring up people that your listeners may not have known about, but they really do stand out in different ways. P.K. Hallinan was born in L.A. In 1944. He grew up in Maryland in the San Fernando Valley, but by his early 20s, he was a toy department manager for Sears, married, two young sons, and bored to death. And he is just such a wonderful person to talk to. He wrote much later in a book that he brought out that, you know, he decided to be a famous novelist. And Bill writes.
So he was, I just want to make it clear. So he was running a toy department at Sears, right?
Right.
Bored, and then decide I'm going to become a novelist. Then a world famous novelist,
right?
Really?
And write the great American novel.
Okay,
but in his typical way, he said, "Well, it also helps if you know how to write." But that didn't stop me, so I plowed ahead and turned out two really terrible manuscripts that are now in a landfill in California where they richly belong. But his wife then asked him to write a little children's book for their kids as a Christmas present. So he scribbled out a story, drew some cartoons of his kids, and the people liked it. So P.K., while he worked on his books, worked 20 years in corporate America, project scheduler for Lockheed. And in any event, he had published five children books by then, but he still needed to have a job. So he worked there for more than 20 years. But then a publisher came, and this is what really happens. The publisher didn't have enough books, Bill, for his spring catalog. So P.K. then put in How Do I Love You, which was a children's book. It became a best-selling book. Over 2 million copies sold. It just hit.
Wow, 2 million. That's an incredible amount of printed copies of a book to sell.
It really is, and it shows a lot about the fiction business. You know, 90% of all books that are published are typically nonfiction, but he was right in there with fiction. But 2 years later, and they moved up to the Valley for a change of scenery and to enjoy the seasons. But he then found himself, and he said with his wife, he had a spiritual hole. So he then went ahead, and friends invited him to the Applegate Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. But he played the guitar well. And so he said, I went for the music, but I stayed for the word. He then became, he converted to Christianity. He then became, Bill, a pastor at Green Springs in the mountains above Ashland. Mm-hmm. He then founded, actually in Ashland, and became the pastor for it was the Joy Chapel Christian Fellowship in downtown Ashland that he did for some 15 years. During this time, P.K. wrote and illustrated, my friend, nearly 100 children books, selling more than 9 million copies worldwide. But these children books are filled with life lessons about love and kindness, you know, inspiration, friendship, love. And they're wonderful. It's like Lucy Brown that goes ahead and leaves a football down for Charlie to kick it.
Right.
And it's so amazing. So he still comes to senior living and assisted living communities throughout the valley.
And frankly, my gosh, at 1944, he's 80 years old himself now, right?
Is he, good point.
Is he still doing okay? Still doing all right?
That's exactly right. And when he had some infirmities and problems that came up with health, he still was as upbeat and continued on and would get to the senior living communities bill and play his guitar with these fellowships. And watching videos, and actually I was at one of them, you know, you could just see the seniors who have been left alone by so many people and the way that their eyes would glisten. I mean, it really is, he's a very meaningful person that lives his life according to his values, is a Christian, stands out. I remember the way we would communicate by email, and then, Bill, I actually saw him in the Ashland Safeway, and I said, darn, that must be PK. So I walked up, and I said, you're PK, aren't you? And he said, yes. He said, are you, and he hesitated, are you Dennis? And he was just that type of person that stands out that I'm very happy to be able to bring to you and your listeners, because he's that genuine person that makes a difference much more than the city councils and the politicians and such that are there scrapping for their own identity and their own power.
P.K. Hallinan, what a great story. And it's interesting how interesting you tell me that he started off wanting to write the great American novel, and he ends up writing 100 children's novels, I guess, is how he ended up. Did he actually set out to be a children's author, or did it just kind of work out that way, ultimately?
That's an excellent, excellent question, because it was serendipity, because Christmas was drawing near at the time, and his wife just asked him to write a little children's book for their kids.
So that's what started it. It was just the kids' book that he wrote for his own children then.
As a Christmas present. And he scribbled out a story and drew some pen and ink cartoons, and his kids, family, and friends liked it. And they said, you should write more children's books. Because when you find a passion like that, he was doing it because he loved it, but he kept working. I mean, these jobs, Bill, that he had, he was working for a company in San Diego as the director of marketing communications. And that was for about 12 years. And then, you know, it's amazing, you know, how you balance things when you have that. I mean, think also about what you did as you're working your way in terms of being a talk show host and the different ways you did, because you love the radio. You love the things you're doing, and that stands out. That genuineness is what stands out.
Very good. What a great story. P.K. Hallinan and Dr. Powers, we appreciate you bringing it to us this morning. And hang on, because now we're going to get into the present side of things with the, well, I don't know. Is it?
Shall we dip our toe in?
Yeah, we'll dip our toe in. We'll do that coming up here on KMED 99.3 KBXG.
Get ready for the season at Grange Co-op's Fall Roundup Sale, happening September 4th through the 15th. Save
8:30. Dr. Powers back with Where Past Meets Present, onto the present side of things. I don't know. I think it's all over for Trump here, Dr. Powers, because Dick Cheney, along with Liz Cheney, have now endorsed Kamala. So it must be. I guess it's over. It's all over at this point. Where do we go?
Yeah. You know, Bill, that's a real fine issue to go into, because with the chameleon, we have Kerry, Clinton, Obama, Gore, all ones that are in there who are now mega, mega millionaires, Pelosi and Schumer.
By the way, Pelosi, Pelosi Granny Winebox, which I think is the best nickname for her, Granny Winebox. She ended up saying over the weekend that she knows cowardice, and that she figures Trump will not be at tomorrow's debate.
Oh, yeah. And you see, then the Republicans, who always manage to shoot their foot in this, by deciding, oh, well, you know, we really don't want to get caught by these people by being called racist. Well, if you don't go ahead and start standing up to what it would be like if she won, like the last 3.5 years with Biden and Harris, then you're called a racist. Well, if you know, you got to go ahead and stand up for your beliefs. And so I'm finding right now you have ones like, you know, where's Bush? Where's Cheney? You know, all of them are saying, boy, inside, we'd rather have political power.
Well, what that tells you, though, is that they're not about the party or even a particular ideology or way of governing. It's about the blob. It's the uniparty blob, isn't it? Which, of course, is never-ending welfare at home, never-ending warfare abroad. I mean, that's really what those endorsements are reading, to my yeah. eyes, at least. Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about it, it just shows cowardice. Period. And what's interesting, Bill, at least my observation, my friend, is the fact that when you listen in to all the pundits and the experts who are going ahead and talking about the upcoming debate, you know, they're saying, well, Trump will need to go into this area. Well, wait a minute. Why is one person having to go into this? Why don't you all get into it and start deciding that the country is more important than your own political base and your own political power? It's nonsensical. And, you know, and the thing about it is that this political power, if the chameleon gets in, won't even be around for Bush, Cheney, and the Bush Republicans.
Exactly. My take, though, I'm kind of thinking that really President Trump's job tomorrow night will be, what do you think, 90 minutes of being kind of polite, really, is really all there is to it. Do you agree with me, or is it a little more to it? He's going to have to define her, of course, but he's going to have to resist the name-calling. And I think that he did that pretty well with Joe Biden. He did not rise to the bait. He did not take the bait from Joe Biden.
Yeah, and you see, you know, when I listen to all the pundits about the debate coming up tomorrow, I just say to myself, you know, I've seen this before. I saw this with the way Obama ran Biden. Keep him in the basement. Get him into a debate. This is, you know, when he won in 2016, let's say. No, 2020. And what we do there is, yeah, just get a neutral because the state-run media will cover it, and then we win. And so they keep Kamala in the chameleon in the basement. No reporter questions.
But will this work? Because it worked. Well, it worked with Biden. Arguably, it worked with Biden. And so why wouldn't they do it again with her? Because in many ways, she's worse.
Exactly. And you'd think that, and I really am blaming the Republicans on this. I really am. Why couldn't they have seen this with the Kamala, start doing things differently instead of tap dancing around and trying to make sure they get senators elected? It's one of those things where you either stand up for the country like you do and your listeners do, or you go ahead and you flew into the winds like many of the establishment Republicans are doing.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm surprised how many of the so-called Republican luminaries of the past, though, have crossed that line. That really, it just tells you, though, how strong the uniparty is over in the swamp. It really does.
That, and also the fact that, I'll add this, my feeling, Bill, is that they have been so hit by the anti-Republican values that they've been squeezed into this amorphous shape that you've just described.
Well, it's come down to that the Republican Party as a governing force is not a conservative force. It just isn't.
That's true. And they feel that this is the way, but it's not the way because they're more interested 4 years from now that if, for example, Trump doesn't make it, that they will have an ability to go ahead and bring their own people in. And that is such a narrow-minded, anti-American way of looking at it.
Well, yeah, then you end up going back to the Republican Party of, well, that is all we have to worry about. We don't want to get involved in those nasty culture wars. So even if your kid is being turned trans by the system, if we get the right tax policy in, everything will be fine. Right? That kind of thing. You know what?
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Because the economy is such a safe issue that this administration, I mean, like 4.2%, you know, in terms of the unemployment rate, big deal. Yeah. It's going to change just before the election.
Well, I'm wondering what the BLS. I'm wondering what the Bureau of Labor Statistics jobs report will say maybe in October or November. I'll be curious at that point. But they're already starting to vote in some states. All right. Hey, Doc, let's hang out through the news break here. And when we return, I would like your legal eagle hat take on what happened as far as the various attacks on Trump legally, where they're going with.
Line at Orleans.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Dr. Powers, we're past meets present and into the present here. So the president's legal challenges, or I should say the former president, hopefully being the next president here, doctor. Why don't you break down the Jack Smith refiling of cases or the modification of the prosecution case and the Juan Marchand case over in New York, all the rest of this. Where do you see this going over the next few weeks? Because apparently Trump could be sentenced to jail in September sometime. Well, is it September or delayed? What's the latest? I've been getting confused about it all. Help us understand that.
Oh, that's really done on purpose by the White House PR staff with the New York Times and the Chronicle and things like this. The interesting thing was this delay by Marchand of the sentencing underneath that New York case having to do with business records to November 26th.
So this is after the election. All right, got it.
Yeah. But then you see the other thing, Bill, that really hit me was the fact that then all of a sudden Hunter is going to go ahead and plead guilty and his father is not going to pardon him. I can't believe that the American public can believe this. And the fact is that this is all done because they figured that if he was sentenced in September, that this would put the spotlight on Trump and would also be able to woo independents who are saying, wait a minute, this is lawfare, this is Nicaragua, which it is. And so everything is being run as a PR campaign by the state-run media and also by the White House with the chameleon and everyone else. Now, what happens then, my take is that after the election, if he wins, it goes one way. But if he loses, it goes another. But the modification is this. If he loses, it's going to be everything is going to be going against him. But if he wins, the far-left radicals that are running the Democratic Party are going to use that to disrupt his ability to come into office, just like they did with the phony Clinton Russia collusion report, where the only mistake Trump made was appointing a weak-kneed attorney general who just said, oh, I'm not going to get involved. And that is what's going to happen. They look at it as a win-win. They're not going to get anything by having him sentenced, but they're going to go ahead and run it this way.
So from the way you see this is playing out, one way or the other, either Trump gets screwed or the American people who are fans of Trump get screwed, or both.
I like that. That is exactly what's happening. A vote for the chameleon is a vote for the chaos that we had and we saw with Biden-Harris right when they came in. And everyone knows that she's going to go ahead and just switch right to the far left. She is that way. She was that way when she was the attorney general for where? California.
Yeah, yeah. Can't afford a Californian president, that's for sure. All right. Hey, finally, before we take off, anything going on in the city of Ashland? I know you keep apprised of Ashland.news, and I know that there's a new city manager there, correct? Permanent one?
Yeah. And what's interesting there, Bill, is that it's one to where the person had already been an acting city manager. And what you're seeing is that basically, unless you have really a very liberal philosophy, you might as well move now to Medford. And for example, the big one that's really standing out, my friend, is the Ashland Parks and the Arson Parks Foundation, which looks over all the parks like Lithia Park, the golf course, and things along these lines. Now, the golf course is one to where the city council has, at least by one person I've talked to, has said they would love to go ahead and put a beautiful homeless shelter right there on the golf course. But you
okay.
see, they were, and Bill, they were blocked, my friend. They were blocked by the Ashland Parks people and foundation. So what happens is you work it to where the number one, number two, and number three guy leave, and the number three guy is working in Medford. These are very good people who really kept the parks really going and apolitical. And then they went into the foundation, and with the Parks Foundation, they pulled the money out to rebuild the Butler Foundation, the Butler Fountain, at the entrance, if you will, kind of inside on Lithia Park. But my friend, the whole thing is that they bled it. They took the money away that would have gone for park maintenance to go ahead and to, and their nice little secret meetings, which nothing is reported on other than the fact that they're meeting. It's when the city council meets with the Axe and Parks people, and they release this one little thing, Bill. They just say, oh, we're just meeting with them to work out our communication. Heck no. They're working out the fact of running it so they can go ahead and do it the way they want. And you can see in Lithia Park right now where the maintenance is not what it was before. When you go on the trails. They're yeah. keeping everything for the tourists that come in, but never on the trails that go up towards the reservoir. So if you're a resident here, what's going on is just really atrocious.
Hmm. Before we take off, though, I did want to ask you, overall, I don't know if you kept track of Measure 118, the one which would raise corporate taxes quite a bit, and then write hot checks to every person living in Oregon. Are you familiar with that one? Another one you're laughing at.
I love the way you say it.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I'm laughing, it's one more of a, in a way, a sarcasm, which is why I was laughing, because the way you position these things is perfect.
Yeah. Well, writing hot checks would be what it's all about, but this is definitely, they're definitely pushing the trying out of universal basic income. You know, that's where they're really going on something like this. But what I find fascinating as I was reading Willamette Week over the weekend is that its first large contribution from a San Francisco candidate, a socialist for mayor, running for mayor. And it's like, what is it about all of these progressives that want to screw up Oregon first because they can't get universal basic income passed down in California? We're really being used as a petri dish, aren't we, ultimately on
yes.
this?
Yes, we are, Bill. Yes, we are. And that's really highlighting this issue. My take is the fact that with the progression, that if you can get from this area into Salem as a representative, and you can tell it by the way that these representatives all of a sudden change their pitch. But then the key thing is you got to get to Washington, where the power and the money really is. So you're always going to be doing these petri dish type of things, such as decriminalization, that was a laughingstock of drugs. And so even though it was passed in an initiative because of the urban Portlanders, you had...
And a lot of George Soros money backing it, of course, too. Got to remember that.
Good point. That's exactly why. Soros loves these things in the petri dish because he already has got his attorney general in there, for the state. So what we have is a situation where they try these things, because it's the way they get notice.
Good point. Hey, now, this is the final question, given that we are at the fourth anniversary of the Alameda fire. Yesterday was the fourth year on that. You think we'll ever find out who set the blaze in Ashland that started it all off? You think?
Well, there's two. That's an excellent question, because there's two. There's two aspects. One is the whisper that it was started by a homeless encampment. And the other one is the fact that the fire department and the investigators are really trying to find out how it started. But if a homeless person started it, that will never see the day of light with our city council.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're thinking
so
home.
4 years.
So the whisper even now is homeless. So it's not about someone with a political bent, like the people that were hanging out and protesting at Hawthorne Park. All the radicals that were there at that time in Medford.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of areas that could be the part of causation. The proof is the problem. I do remember very much, you know, when that fire started here, Bill, with the winds blowing that they were, actually blowing northward, and were at anywhere between 25 to 40 miles an hour, that fire raced so fast that from my vantage point, I saw it within 10 minutes, was that the intersection was really where the city of Ashland ended. It was going right up the freeway, and you could see it burning on both sides. It was one of those ones which was a horrible event that displaced so many people, and then the politics came in on the whole thing as to, oh, well, you know, it was the field. It was this. It was that.
Oh, it was climate change. You know, how many times have you heard about that part? And that's the part that has irritated me most about mainstream coverage of this, is that there's always an insinuation or working it through that, oh, no, wait a minute. We're talking about a human set fire in a 60-mile-an-hour wind event. You know, and,
right.
and I continue
right.
to bang that gong ceaselessly about that, because that's what it was. It was not a climate change caused fire. Climate change doesn't make people set fires, okay? Not that I'm
excellent
aware of.
Excellent point. And by the fact that you're still ringing that bell, that is a kudu. Please keep doing that, because the whispers and also the way the city council and also the way politicians take it, to say the easy out is say climate change, and that is so wrong. Why don't we talk about the fact of having roads in the forest? Why not have ways of putting these fires out rather than burn, baby, burn?
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, thank you as always, and we'll talk next Monday. You be well, and I'll take the week off, okay? We'll see you next Monday, Dennis.
Take care, and always a pleasure.
All right. 853 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Dr. Dennis Powers, DennisPowersBooks.com, if you wanted to find out more about him. All right. Now, I had promised, you know, over the weekend that I was going to give away one of those double date deals, and we had this amazing KMED double weekend, double date special going on with Jackson County Expo. Now, the way it works is that you can go there and get tickets to Scotty McCreery, which is September 21st, you know, a week from this coming Saturday. Well, if you buy four of those tickets, you end up getting, four tickets to Brewfest, Southern Oregon Brewfest, which is this weekend. Very cool. You just put double in the in your checkout there at you go to theexpo.com. That's how you do it. It's pretty easy. But what I'm going to do right now is give you a two tickets for Brewfest this weekend and two tickets to Scotty McCreery next weekend. And I'm going to give you parking for it, too. We're going to take care of this. Caller 15, you're going, 770-5633. I'm going to take care of both of your next weekends here at the Expo here from 99.3 KBXG, 106.3 KMED. Caller 15, you're the winner, okay?
I'm Bill Payne, sending a shout-out to Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. I would just like to say what an amazing experience it has been using Westfall Roofing. The team quickly looked at my project, gave me a prompt estimate. They did the repairs necessary and had my property re-roofed way faster than I was expecting. The staff was very courteous and very professional and answered all my questions before beginning the project. I would recommend them to anyone needing a roofing project done. They mean what they say. Need a new roof? Westfall gets it done.
CCB number 230804.
If you have a painting project this fall, you're going to want to buy your Benjamin Moore paint at Drake's Paint during their 40th anniversary sale. Benjamin Moore's top-of-the-line Aura interior and exterior paint is 30% off at Drake's now through Monday, September 9th. So come see your only locally owned paint dealer and authorized Benjamin Moore retailer, Drake's Paint, and save 30% on Benjamin Moore's best Aura paint through September 9th. Drake's Paint in Grants Pass, North Medford, and now in South Medford.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-in-time services and repairs, all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-in-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
It's 8:55. I've been answering phones feverishly during the break here, and I'm looking at caller 15 blinking at me right now. Let's find out who it is. Hi, good morning, KMED. Who's this?
It's Dana.
Dana.
Yes.
You want to do the double date deal, Brewfest this weekend, Scotty McCreary at the Expo next weekend?
Sounds good to me.
You're it, buddy.
You're a winner!
Oh, wow.
Yep. Nice. Caller 15, we got you going there. And you're going to have such a good time there. In fact, we'll even pay for your parking at Scotty McCreary. We got that all taken care of there for you. So, Dana, hang on. We'll take care of business with you. And we're going to be giving tickets away like this all this week for the big double date, the double weekend double date from KMED, all right? And you can do that for yourself over at TheExpo.com.
The model year-end closeout on new Iron Bull trailers continues at Two Dogs Fabricating. Iron Bull has instant rebates on remaining 2024 Iron Bull trailers while they last. There's an instant $750 rebate on 12 to 16-foot dump trailers and a $500 rebate on equipment trailers from 16 to 24 feet. The 2024 model year-end closeout on North Star-made Iron Bull trailers is for a limited time. So go pick out yours at Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford. Visit TwoDogsFab.com.
This is Bill Meyer from my friend Steve Yancey, an independent insurance agent at Sky Park Insurance. Actually, it's an independent agency. And it's interesting recently how the Federal Reserve said inflation has cooled. Now, this doesn't mean that the prices have gone in reverse and all of a sudden you see the prices that went up 10, 20, 25%, like a lot of insurance companies have been charging people. It's not exactly like they're reversing course. You need a friend to help navigate this. It's not unusual to see renewal rates of 10, 15, 20 or more, like I said. Steve Yancey is here to help because he's an independent insurance agent. He doesn't work with just one company. He works with many companies. And many listeners from 99.3 KBXG and 106.3 KMED have saved lots of money with him over the years. All you have to do is just call him. It's pretty simple. You also go on the web, too, skyparkins.com. But call him at 261-5444, 261-5444, and see what Steve can do for you at Sky Park.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Meyers Show.
8:58, another email or two of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant is where it's next to on Freeman Way, and I think it's right down from the McDonald's in that neighborhood, okay? And by the way, you're looking for specialized toothpastes and mouthwashes, things like that. They have a little kiosk to help you have dental health, and that will be something that you get at their cost. No markup on it. They want to make sure that you're healthy, okay? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Now, I love this email from Granny. Granny emails me. This is just a quick one. And she calls it a Thursday thought. But given that the debate is going to be tomorrow night, she says, Bill, I wonder if they can hypnotize Kamala and program her to sound coherent. That is a very interesting question. That is such a thought-provoking question, Granny. Could you actually do that where all of a sudden she comes out, walks on the stage, and someone has been working with a hypnosis with her over the last few weeks to get her to string the words together more effectively? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. And if all of a sudden the word salads are reduced and things are a little more cogent, I guess the answer is yes. Okay. But we'll talk more on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Email Bill at BillMeyersShow.com. You be well. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins next.